Say a little prayer to the gas gods.
God of gas.
Go to Romans 12. In the world system, there are hints at the mystery of God. And one of them is authenticity. If you find a rock that you think is a diamond, you have to ensure its authenticity. If you find a painting that you believe is Picasso, you have to ensure its authenticity. No matter what it is, the authenticity has to be established. And it's established by a thousand different systems, depending on the arena that particular authenticity is required. Well, there is... a spiritual test of authenticity. And it's the most important thing there is in life. There is nothing else that's more important than to certify authenticity for someone that names the name of Christ, or for anything that's in a spiritual realm. You know, we have thousands of suicide bombers that they are testing the authenticity of their belief system, that they will be rewarded for being a martyr. I happen to believe they'll be surprised at the lack of the authenticity for that. And the reason I would be surprised is because one who came from the other side, who came from beyond, he established the authenticity that wouldn't appear to be valid. There are many people who claim to be prophets or preachers or America's pastor or... And if we remember when we read in Revelation the other day that we have tried them and found them to be false. And it's funny, it's far easier, it seems to me, for the world system to look and determine the authenticity of a Christian than it is for people inside the community to look and determine the authenticity. I mean, there's no one that I've ever met in my life, and long before I was a believer, I couldn't imagine that anyone could fall for the Robert Tiltons or the Benny Hinns or that message, because it even before I was a believer, it lacked authenticity. And that only increased exponentially after I did become a believer. Then why is it? What is it that happens where we end up as there's a whole community of religious people, of Christians, that believe that these folks have authenticity, that enough to give them their money and to bet their life on them and bet their healing on them. And so we got all these people that are literally betting their health and their wealth and everything on somebody like Steve Muncy, who you may not know, but I had the pleasure of watching him last night when I couldn't sleep.
The same way you catch a catfish.
Televangelists are considered, there's you've heard me talk about this many times, there's a book that comes out periodically, and it's called What America Believes. And so they do a lot of things. And this particular one, that the first time I saw it was back in 91. And even back then, televangelists were third from the bottom of all possible groups. Now, all of evangelical Christians are third from the bottom of the Barna survey thing. What happens? What happens? How can people, you know, for me, my life as a believer, my life as a being, was always kind of pushing things. And I tried yoga, and I tried Eastern religions, and I tested, and I did all, you know, and I went through all these things. And yet, and I looked at and studied some the Muslim theology, and read the Quran, and it didn't pass muster even on the surface with me. But there's a billion people that it somehow passed muster for. And again, back, we've talked so often about, for most people, if they were born in China, they'd be a good communist. If they were born in Japan, they'd be a good Shinto. In India, they'd be a Hindu. And we happen to be born in America, so you're a Christian. And the reason that we don't demand the same kind of authenticity from that which is, we're literally betting our life on, that we would demand from buying a piece of jewelry. And we get by, we get by even around here by allowing what are obvious inauthentic behavior to just be rampant. Why? Romans 12 says it. It says that Paul is something going on outside that everybody's watching?
I'm not watching.
Well, it's only because you're facing this way. He's begging. He said, because God has no counselors, because he has no attorneys, because no one's his counselor. Then he says, I beseech you, I beg you on my knees, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. You know, that you, well, let's look at it. That'll be the first thing to do, so I make sure I don't misquote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word present there is a word that means that you yield without condition, that you simply present yourself without condition, without any exceptions, without any if-onlys or what-ifs or living sacrifice. Holy just means, you remember we've talked about that so often, it's the salt shaker is being a salt shaker. It has nothing to do with what we think holiness means. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that means, the word means, it's the highest that man can do. The highest that you can do by any form of logic or religious service is to simply present yourself a living sacrifice. And that's the reasonable. It means the highest that logic can take you. And the service is the Greek word that means the religious service. So it overcomes anything else. You just present yourself as the living sacrifice. And then something happens. Then as time goes on, the authenticity of that sacrifice is tested. Now, if something comes up, you get sick, the authenticity of whether or not you've presented yourself a living sacrifice as long as you're well is tested. Present yourself a living sacrifice as long as I have enough whatever. So I present myself a living sacrifice as long as I'm with nice people. I present myself a living sacrifice as long as, and you add the rest of your sentence for you. And this is be not conformed to this world. And the world there is, again, it's this thing. This is how I come up with all that stuff about if you're in China, you'll be a good Chinese or a good communist. The word world there is the Greek word ion. And it means the spirit of the age. It means no matter where you are, no matter which time of history you're in it, no matter what condition it is, that the aeon or the ion is the whatever the prevailing moral value system is, good or bad, up or down, in or out, logical or illogical. So that no matter what system of time, no matter what social system that you're born into, that you are not to be conformed to that. Now, my question then is, let's go on. That you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, or transfigured, it's metamorpho, it's be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. There's no other basis of being transfigured other than the renewing of your mind. Now, the renewing is anakinesis. And it means a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and will be. Now, the gradual is only there because of our rebellion. That's why a gradual is there. So, there's something that begins to happen. And this is, now we're coming back to authenticity. We've got to find out whether or not that our yielding ourselves or presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, first of all, is there anything else that I've seen along the way that I would rather present myself to? And is there anything that has happened to me along the way that is sort of taking my eyes off of it? Now think about it.
Taking my eyes off what?
Off of presenting yourself the living sacrifice. What I would call authenticity, integrity, is that no matter what it has been, there is nothing that has kept you from presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Nothing internal, nothing, no battles with your inner child, no history, no experience of what you've gone through in the past, whether or not you could understand that God is a good father, or you could understand God as a father because your daddy beat you or some crap. There is nothing, past, present, or future, nothing that will disturb that authenticity. Now that authenticity to presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, the Bible's word for that is faith. Period. Now, how many times since you first named the name of Christ have you departed based on some emotional thing that went on with you, based on some, you got mad at me, based on your health didn't go the way you thought it should, you didn't have enough money, you needed something you didn't get, whatever it is. How many times have you departed from that authenticity? Well, obviously the answer is infinite. Well, that's what you've been forgiven of. That's why now is the only accepted time. That's why, again, from everything that I've experienced, the longer that I have remained true to it and the quicker that I have repented when I've departed from it, the easier it is for me to see inauthenticity or unauthenticity or disauthenticity or whatever you want to say. So what it seems to me that as we continue in this mystery, this path, that the same should be true in you. And you would the demand of your authenticity, of your reality, would be so finely tuned that even a snake biting you, or a sudden fear, or whatever it is, nothing could take you away from the reality of this presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. And the only way that happens, it happens by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean to renew your mind? It means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does it mean to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? It means it's finished. It means it's perfect. It means his sacrifice was infinite. You can't change anything, and you can't change infinity. And it was eternal. You can't add to eternity. And you have been perfected. By that one offering, if you've only yielded. And in order to yield, you have to discount the evidence, the physical evidence that you see around you that is of this world system. Now the passage between Passover and Pentecost, because a lot of those things that distract you are the things that you think are good. Oh, that's I'm interested in good something, and every one of those things that it's supposedly Passover was supposed to take care of the things that are bad, and from the period from Passover to Pentecost takes care of the things that you think are good, and so you've ended up being able to present yourself a living sacrifice on Pentecost. Not only be able to, you're empowered to. Now, if you want to take away, I mean, our buzzword for the last year or so has been ethics or integrity. I want to fine tune that to authenticity. I mean, you can watch it. You can watch the inauthenticity. You can watch it happen because then you can watch it be justified. But you can't even see it if you're not in it, you can't. So why, back to the original question, how did all these people accept something? Whether it was cultural or they had to suspend critical judgment. You understand what that means? You had to suspend your, and you probably were taught in a particular belief system that critical, being the critical judgment, has caught, is something, is the worst thing you can do. So, what part of you now is not authentic? And what part of you have you already seen 1,000 times and yet you keep repeating it? I'm sorry. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove means to test. And all, it doesn't say anything, you're not proving or testing or anything about Harry. Harry's name isn't in here. Ollie's name isn't here. Gary's name isn't here. You're testing that perfect will of God. And that perfect will of God is Jesus Christ. It's never been anything else. But you must come to know that for you to live is Christ. And the only way you can do that is the discarding of anything that's unauthentic. The discarding of all the little behavior patterns that define you. All the little offerings you make, and I'm not picking on anyone in particular, Harry. All the little offerings you make to have sort of a semi-meaningful conversation, or to all of the little things that you do. Everything has to be discarded. And you need help. We need help. I need help to do that. That's why we live in community. So that someone knows you well enough to help you discard the unauthentic. No. What we've just said is the purpose of time and space. It's the purpose of the feasts. Not to you to learn anything, not for you to know anything, but to discard everything that you have found to be not authentic. In the same way that if you were going to buy a Picasso, you'd make sure it was a Picasso. Now, the way you're hardwired will automatically, that's the fail-safe system of God. It means by the end you have to discard you. And that's the meaning of repentance. You leave you behind. And slowly but surely you find a thing that happens. You find out that your whole process of life, of trying to find out and trying to determine and trying to get and trying to know, is replaced. Because all of that you have found to be unreal. And it's all of that trying to get is replaced by, you're more concerned with somebody else's welfare than you are with your own. without any, and you don't have any, and you don't let anybody know that. It's the only way you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the only way that you can know that Jesus Christ is in you. And that's the way you've proven it to your own self, so that you're not wandering around in the wilderness of the universe looking for a drink of water or somebody's pat on the back or somebody's acknowledgement that you have some worth. And not any vain philosophy that's time dependent, because his sacrifice was eternal. Not anything that's its arena or area developed, because his sacrifice was infinite. And without any need for concern about you, because you've been perfected by one offering. Everything else is bullshit. You got to know that by now. Oh, it's 80 degrees in here.
How many times have I heard you say that too?
See, what did I tell you? What is the first thing that happened? What's the first thing that happened?
Justification.
Should I pick on the rest of you? Or that was just a...
Yeah, he could be...
Huh? Do you want me to... You, since you said that...
rubber in your glue. I call it revenge.
Would you repeat what you said about critical judgment? We're talking about critical judgment for just a second.
Well, if you walked into any belief system that you could conceive of, that you once considered, right now, in order for you to buy into it, you'd have to suspend critical judgment. That's why people buy into when they go to a Benny Hinn crusade. If you walked back into the culture of Merrill Lynch and had to behave in a certain way, I mean, you couldn't do it unless you suspended critical judgment.
I'm trying to decide if you're advocating suspending it or not,
Ben. Oh, no, I'm not advocating. I'm trying to stick. I want you to fine-tune it to the nth degree by taking time, space, and culture out of it, so that it's all this pristine being, not conformed to any system of the world.
That's a tall order.
Well, then don't worry about the whole world. Just worry about this world right now. Don't be conformed to any cultural aspects of Trinity Foundation. That'd be a big start.
When you start talking, the operative scripture for me in this was the men love darkness more than they love the light. And the darkness is me. Anything about how I perceive, think, feel, want things to be, and whatever. And that's the darkness that would be very attractive to me.
Why do you love the darkness, though? The darkness lets you compare. It's really, the word is really not darkness, it's twilight. Twilight lets us compare. As long as I can compare, then I can find one other person, even in that second, I can find somebody else that is equally guilty. And therefore, I don't have to repent. And we do it that quickly. And some of us are experts at it, aren't we, Harry?
So in answer to your first question about why do people turn to the Benny Hinns and America's Preacher and all of that, is it during their time of wandering in the wilderness when they've gone away from the living sacrifice that they find it easier to turn to someone that feeds them words and prayer cloths and holy water?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have a predicate like that. It's just in order to, what there can be a million reasons, but there's something you want, and so in order to get it, you suspend critical judgment. I mean, had I not been taken out of the Air Force, where I had to wear a uniform, and if I had to salute people and all that crap, I'd still be in jail. I could never have done that when I was back then. What? What?
You should be in jail.
I mean, so I wasn't able to suspend critical judgment in order to, even if it was to my benefit back then, in that teenage period. Now, that's what all of us went through in a teenage period. But we somehow sold out. We suspended our critical judgment in order to gain something.
I can understand John raising a question about, like, which side are you on? Because in a way, if you're using critical judgment, you're judging good and bad. But then you're saying the outcome is you don't have any definition of good and bad.
Right. It's the same thing. Like, I look at politics now, especially the current arena, and I can't even believe that anybody could buy into it, and yet I was part of it. I mean, it's so foreign to anything that I can conceive of, or the rat race of putting on a tie and being nice to people and all that. I can't conceive of that, or worrying about or trying to get somebody to vote for me. I mean, it's like those things that were all things that I was guilty of, where I suspended critical judgment because I bought into it for a time. And now the only question is, and this is where I need your help, where am I blinded? Where are you blinded? You know, some of you are blinded because you think there's two worlds. You think there's a spiritual world and there's my job and then no. So we need each other. We need to make sure that there's no place where each one of us has suspended critical judgment. To buy into something, to get by, or to gain something. You know, for a long time, Studnot here our friend Ronnie. He bought in. He suspended critical judgment. He bought into stuff because he had another agenda. I mean, he bought in. He acted like he was buying into here. And he said, "I can't help it." Or Harry, "I've been thinking about this for 3 months." What the hell have you been doing that for? "Oh, I've noticed something going on in him for the last week." Why? Why didn't you say something then? You know, Brian came to me. "Do you have something? Are you mad at me?" Brian, the first thing you will know it instantly if I'm mad at you. Or if I'm upset at you, or whatever. It doesn't matter. And that's what every one of us should be. We shouldn't buy into a lie of behavior for society's purpose, even this small, stupid society of Trinity Foundation. When Sue first got here, she suspended critical judgment because it was a sanctuary for her, but the rest of us did too. I don't want you to suspend critical judgment. Because if you've got it, and if it's there, then it's got to be spoken. It's got to be dealt with. I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. It just has to be dealt with. Does that make it clear? No. Oh, I think I've heard. Our elders aren't too swift. Well, our minors aren't too swift either. I mean,
yeah, but it was the elders that said that.
It was the elders that said that. whatever it is, office that I serve. You didn't do a very good job. Well, no kidding. You're a genius. Or like that, when I talked about, what was that, when Rick said that time, when I told him something and he said, I perceived
that word of prophecy.
Yeah. I was talking to him, I said, you're lying little shit, and total failure, and you do nothing but acting. And his response was, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." But again, you have to do the same with me. I mean, that's why I exhort one another daily while it is still called today. So there is only integrity and only authenticity. They're not, and that just means you're not acting. And that's, it's instantaneous. I mean, I know it when you're acting. Like Pete's still mad at me. It took a real genius to know that, didn't it? And then he's going to come back and have to talk to me. Not anymore, he's not. Take it, big guy.
It's 80 degrees in there, even picture you.